When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about marijuana, reefer, grass, your parents might have said. We're going to be talking about withdrawal symptoms, how it affects your body, and some of the more negative aspects of it as we live in a society now that's kind of like, weed can cure all, what's the truth?
Okay, you can guess who picked this episode.
What do you mean?
I'm still fascinated.
Mitchell Ryan loves his edibles, Moffat.
Give away my middle name. Thanks a lot. That was weirdly a thing I like wouldn't tell people for like most of my life for some reason.
Yeah, what was that? I remember you. I didn't know your middle name for like 3 years, and it was like, I think I found out by looking at your passport.
I don't know. Like when I was young, it must have become like either a joke or a prank or something that somehow it became like embedded in my identity that there was like some secrecy to me. I don't know. I think when I was young, I was just like, oh, I'm not going to tell you my middle name to someone. And then I probably got a lot of like feedback or a lot of, you know what I mean? When you're young and you get someone like wants to know something from you and then you're like, I'm not going to tell you.
So
then I just like carried on where I was like, ooh, it's kind of nice that I have this secret middle name.
It's so funny that it ends up being Ryan.
Yeah, it's so basic. Like,
but so what's the Ryan from?
What do you mean?
The middle name. Where's it come from? Is there like a...
My parents' brains.
Oh, I mean like, is it like your uncle was a Ryan or your grandpa?
No, we don't follow that patriarchy bull.
Wait, oh my God, it was just a random name, Ryan.
Yeah, I have no idea why my middle name's Ryan. I actually,
I've
also told people this and I don't know.
Is it Ryan?
True.
Are you lying to me?
Oh, no, it is Ryan. But when I was, my mom once told me, I think, and I need to confront this with her, but my actual first name is Mitchell Ryan.
Okay, there is so much fake news, misinformation.
No, like, and that's why often when
wait, so you don't have a middle name. Your actual name is just Mitchell Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is so funny.
But I actually
don't
know what's true anymore. I live in such a web of lies, I can't even keep up with
it. I'm like, is that just part of your little, like, your, like, childish thing of her intention? You're like, well, actually, I don't even have a middle name. It's Mitchell Dash Ryan. I love it.
Probably, I just wanted attention. My whole life, all I've needed was attention. And
well,
you're giving it to me.
I'm giving it to you. You're getting it from the podcast.
Oh my God. Well, what's your middle name?
My name is Gregory Robert Medlock Brown.
Okay. British royalty over here.
But the Robert is my dad's name, and the Medlock is my mom's last name. Like, you know what I mean? I always thought middle names had some sort of connection. I didn't know that you could just be like, okay, Ryan.
Well, I also have my confirmation name, which is a religious name.
What's that? What's a confirmation name?
You pick a saint. I went to Catholic school, not by choice. and when you have confirmation in grade 8, you have to like pick a saint to kind of look up to, and that becomes like one of your names.
But you just choose a random saint, like a Pokemon card. You just
You have to study them and learn about them, and then you get confirmed with that name.
It'd be so cool if it was like Hogwarts, like hat sorting hat, and they were like, "Your saint is what was yours?
Paul." I had an Uncle Paul, God. And I thought, and then St. Paul, I just like obviously learned a bunch about
Mitchell Ryan Paul Moffat.
Ew, Ryan Paul. Paul Ryan. Ew. Okay, shall we just get out of this? Ugh, feels so weird.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
You can go first with this because I have to get mine ready. Like, it's.
So this week I learned through Blinkist. Have you been doing Blinkist?
I did it a little bit. So we were recently like trying this. This is not sponsored, by the way. Blinkist is just like a thing that gives you quick summaries of books. And we thought, oh, it's a cool way to kind of review a book and then see if you want to dive in deeper.
Yeah, it's so shallow, the surface
yeah,
dive.
I listened to a handful and was like, this is not that good. I wish these were longer.
I wish it was like more of like a, you know, like a gander towards someone, not just a blink.
Yes, like a podcast.
So it's called Blinkist. Again, not sponsored because we're kind of ragging on it a bit, but it's an app. It's quite popular, I think, for like especially like the productivity bros out there. Mm-hmm. You get books, predominantly nonfiction books. It would really be funny to do like a fiction book, like a comp, like a Margaret Atwood.
Hogwarts.
Yeah. a fiction book. It's really broken down to you very quickly. Like I went on a walk with our dog and I finished two novels, I guess. And I think it is a good preliminary resource to go, okay, I do want to actually read that book. Mm-hmm. There are quite a few science books that by the end of the Blinkist, I was like, okay, thank goodness I didn't choose to sit down and read that book.
And I will say, the reason I was interested in this premise is because a lot of times science books, some are so good and so full of great information, but there are a lot out there that you're kind of like, just get to the science. Like, they tell all these stories, and I kind of thought, oh, a Blinkist might actually just literally give you the parts that are the science without the sort of frill and narratives, which can sometimes be good, but some science books I can find myself being like, hurry up. Like, you're just clearly trying to get to over 250 pages in this book.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think that that's why Blinkist is actually good.
Like, useful.
I've definitely blinked some of those books where, like, one of the chapters is, like, their trip to Spain. You're like, well, I don't really care about your family's trip to Spain. I want to know about time. Okay, anyways. So in this particular one, I learned that language in humans emerged as gossip, which I thought was really interesting.
That's gossip.
That's gossip.
In other words, by Lady Gaga.
Be free. So 80,000 to 160,000 years ago is when language emerged in humans, which is a really funny large scale of years that obviously scientists are like bickering over, that they're like, we need to give a large margin.
Right.
And the thought is that in the hunter-gatherer packs at the time, it would have been very valuable to talk smack about other people to learn about like safety, like whether people could be trusted. Like, they really paint this picture of like you and like, you know, let's just picture monkeys like cleaning each other, like, you know, like hanging out in a group. Like,
bro, don't trust
and like
Anthony.
Don't even think about Anthony. Anthony's like murderous and he's like kind of like actually working for the other pack.
Oh my God.
And it's like, it's interesting because you're like, yeah, why did we start to speak? And it really is based on storytelling and this fascinating like consciousness that we evolved in order to tell stories, and the evolutionary advantage at the time. Right. Now we're so past it, was to actually learn, you know, where are the berries? Who can be trusted?
Communicate essential living like utilities.
Yeah, and a lot, like, there's a pretty strong push within the academic community to say that truly it started as gossip. Yeah, so I just thought that was like
sense.
Really interesting
to talk about the things that are ongoing amongst the community of other, like, so you can function properly and know who to trust and not. That's interesting.
And gossip doesn't feel like it's something that should feel good as a human now, because we're so past needing it to survive.
Yeah.
But I do think a lot of people feel good when they gossip, and I think they might feel bad. And it's just like an interesting evolutionary history to be like, why does it feel good to gossip? It's like, oh, you're tapping into that, but like, you don't need it anymore. Like, you should probably just be nice to people. But
that's so funny that gossip feels good. It does kind of, I know, like, not that I'm like such a gossip queen, but I definitely like kind of like get into when someone's gossiping. I'm like, oh, give me the juicy details.
I can't wait for the gossip post COVID.
Ah, this
is going to be juicy.
Well, is it?
Actually,
it's like
no
one's seen anyone.
No, everyone's just going to hate their significant significant other. We're going to have to hear about it.
We just get to air ours on the pod.
Yeah.
And be like, we are gossiping to all of you.
I don't have any more information than that because it was from Blinkist. So on to you. Oh
my God. Okay, yeah, clearly. One day Blinkist is going to reach out and be like, do you want to sponsor?
And we're going to completely shift. We're like, honestly, Blinkist changed my life.
It's just so efficient. Okay. What I learned today is actually related a little more broadly to our topic today of marijuana, but not exactly about quitting. So I thought that was interesting.
Okay.
Give me a little pat on the back.
Oh, there you go. Pat.
But that. It did just come out.
Mitchell Ryan, Paul Moffitt.
Stop it. So basically, a landmark study just came out that shows the use of CBD while you're driving does not have a negative impact
on your ability to drive.
On your ability to drive.
Huh.
So obviously that in some way, so to clarify, so CBD or cannabidiol is an active component of marijuana, but it's not the same as THC. So THC is what gets you high, but people often take CBD for anxiety. There's a variety of medical uses now, and it might seem obvious to some people because when you take CBD, you don't usually get high.
Like psychotropic effects.
Yeah, yeah. But there's never been proper studies to show like when you're under the influence, quote unquote, of CBD.
That's interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah, and as marijuana becomes legal in a lot of places around the whole world, there's a lot of policy of like road rules and things that they need to know. Okay, if somebody's, can you take CBD and drive? So in this study, they basically tested people with smoking. They vaporized it in every case. So they vaporized either THC, CBD, a combo of them, or a placebo. What I find the most crazy about this study is that they actually made them go drive 100 kilometers on a real highway.
Danger zone. Is that ethical?
Unless I misread it.
Are you sure it wasn't a VR highway?
No, that's what I would have thought. They said they made them drive 100 kilometers in real life.
Okay, everyone's canceling everyone. Can we cancel this? Whoever made the study in the science verse?
I don't know. Maybe there was already enough research to show like that there would be minimal enough effect.
It would really suck if they got it back and they're like, wow, CBD everyone's really messes up your ability to drive. Whoops.
So basically they found out without the THC, CBD did not impair driving, which I said. THC does impair driving, though, the study confirmed.
Yes.
But they did find that under moderate amounts of THC, the effects would wear off after a few hours.
So they're going
to endorsement to like,
no, but it's same like with alcohol, you're allowed to have a certain amount in your system. Maybe exactly. They're going to try and get to that point.
And they might be able to say like, when did you smoke or when did you to kind of judge like how high somebody is.
Yeah.
Having a mixture still caused impairment. So in the version where they had THC and CBD at the same time, it
because they're a bit of a yin and yang to each other physiologically.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes people say, oh, I have heard, like, anecdotally or from a rumor standpoint, that CBD kind of blocks the THC receptor. Like, they do bind to the same receptor. So some people are like, does CBD make you less stoned?
We'll get there in
my
study time.
But either way, in this study, they were still impaired enough when they had that combo.
Also, CBD is quite interesting from, like, the perspective of anti-anxiety and things like that. But I think it also really gets to like the issue is the way people have talked about it is so extrapolated and over the top. So it is actually an interesting chemical for a variety of things. But I think what everyone needs to be wary of is like when they're buying all their weird CBD oils that are just being told by unregulated people, like there's a lot of misinformation out there about it. That's not to say that's not promising.
It doesn't mean that it actually can't be an effective tool, especially when you're like talking to your doctor and they're helping to die or your therapist and they're helping to like work through treatment plans
exactly.
for you. But on its own, obviously lots of companies tout crazy claims about what CBD can do for you and your dog and those kind of things.
Your dog.
They definitely have entire industries. I just mean people are making a lot of money off CBD right now. Yeah. So take that as the caveat. Ultimately, this is just...
But drive all you want.
Good and interesting news, especially for people who want to consider taking it for anxiety or, say, depression, but would be concerned, like, can I drive? Would it intoxicate me in a way that would impact...
Well, I'm glad they had a bunch of people driving around on it to figure it out.
It's like, as I was reading, I was like, am I reading this wrong? Like, that seems insane. And, like, imagine they did that with alcohol. Okay, now just go drive 100 kilometers.
They probably did in, like, the 60s. You know what I mean?
Anyway, on to some more marijuana information.
Yes, let's do it.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Whew. Hey. Tis a Friday, so you know I will be partaking in said Delta 9 tetrahydrocannabidiol tonight. if I'm going to be scientifically accurate with the term. I mean,
was the weekend part necessary for you to bring up?
Girl, you know I've tried to kick back to the weekend only, and this is why we are doing this episode, because I am curious about what happens when you quit. Not that I have.
Are you considering quitting?
It's not that I'm considering quitting.
But you're just curious about that.
But I know that in my life I have quit, like when I've gone traveling and not been able to get marijuana. And I've just been really curious.
That's not quitting. That's like taking a 2-week break.
Oh, I did take a 2-week break though in the fall. I've obviously like been thinking about what happens when you stop.
Turn the leaf.
You're throwing it on me just because you've upticked your THC. I'm gonna throw you
under.
Well,
we're in a pandemic.
I'm gonna throw you in front of that car that's being driven by someone on CBD right now.
Oh my god, no, we're in a pandemic. I'm not judging you at all, and I'm not judging myself either. I'm just saying you're
tis legal in Canada.
It is, yeah. We literally buy it from our government.
We buy it from Justin Trudeau. He delivers it to our house himself
every weekend.
Every week he's exhausted.
Now he's in a mask. He's like, here you are.
That's not true about him, but we do order it from our government and it does show up in like random cars. I'm like, who is delivering this?
Yeah, it's always like a different
guy. A really nice, friendly, like a local neighbor. And I'm like, where did this come from? But thanks, bud. And they're always cheerful.
Glad the system's working. But so you don't think you want to quit, but you're generally just curious about what happens when somebody
quits? Yeah, I guess I'm getting there. Like, she's 32. She's breaking down. She's figuring out what she needs to
do. She's about to have kids at some point in the next many years.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be stone daddy. But okay, let's get into it because I found this fascinating. I read deeply this book called From Bud to Brain, A Psychiatrist's View of Marijuana.
How do you read so many books?
I listened to it, not blink as
a song. Okay, this was a real like audiobook.
Yeah, and it
you're insane.
Whoa, something just made a loud noise.
Oh, it was Ernie with his bone.
Oh god.
Like, as if you forgot we owned it.
Oh my gosh. I was like, the asteroid hit. Okay, we have about 3 minutes left. See you later, everyone. We love So much information here is from 2020 that I just want to update people about what
my study's from 2022.
Oh god, you guys are getting the goods. To imagine this is free. This is free.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to do is just go over how marijuana affects your body. I think that would be interesting for everyone. I'm going to read tidbits of information that I found fascinating. We can talk about them or we can just keep going. You're going to be the one who decides whether or not you think it makes sense or not for the listener. Okay. So we have CB1 receptors within our brain and neurons. So weed... Again, I don't want to always every single time say delta-9 tetrahydrocannabidiol. The active component, THC for short, in weed affects your CB1 receptors. Okay. And so there's the presynaptic part of a neuron. That's the part where the neurotransmitters were released. And then they'll go to a postsynaptic part of a neuron. And that postsynaptic part in CB1 receptors release calcium, which is a negative feedback loop to turn off the presynaptic one. So what happens is at a base rate without any weed, you have these CB1 cannabidiol receptors working in your body to help you with things. And one of the main things that they do is help you with memory, with short-term memory, with long-term memory. But there's sort of a really interesting thing that I thought, like short-term memory is actually a good thing. So this kind of sounds confusing, but the analogy they use in the book was an athlete. Athletes need to be present, like when they're playing basketball or whatever they do, like dribble.
What are those things they use? Balls?
So many sports. So many science books use sports analogies. I'm like, not helping the gays. Okay, I'm like, okay.
It's like, could we get a drag race reference once in here?
Exactly. Honestly. So it's like, you need to have a short-term memory. Say you're on the phone with someone, they give you a phone number, and you're like, oh, wait, and you're trying to like remember it. Like, you have to be good at short-term memory, but also sometimes it's advantageous to forget things, to be present. Like, it's a complex system that your brain goes through to make sure, like, oh, I'm going to use this information or not. The CB1 receptors are a part of that whole thing that you don't realize your brain is doing all the time,
like
naturally.
Helping to make determinations around which memories linger, which memories go away, which memories stay, all those kind of things.
Exactly. When you have weed, you are flooding this system. So it obviously, they're realizing, is going to have an effect on your memory.
Is that chronic or acute?
It's chronic and acute. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is the thing. We're getting in today to be like, I think we need to start talking more and more as we're all like, weed's amazing. Like, what actually is it
sure.
doing?
Sure. Well, I definitely, from anecdotal firsthand experience, know that I have a terrible time functioning with memory if I'm really high. Just in the sense that, like, I can be having an interesting conversation and sometimes immediately go, I forget what we're talking about.
Exactly. That is such a good point. When you're high and you're just like so passionately talking about something,
wait,
and then someone's like, someone is like, wait, can you clarify? And you're like, okay, I know I was just screaming about how much I loved what I was talking about, but I kind of forgot what I was talking about. Exactly. So that is a great example of the neurons and the, like, the neurology and neurophysiology of your brain being overloaded by this THC and causing you to forget or remember things in, like, skewed ways.
Okay.
Also, there's a lot of CB1 receptors in your amygdala and the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus regulates appetite. So we all know we do get the munchies.
Yes.
That is a very real thing. And in fact, those receptors are really important when you're first born to make babies really hungry and want to be satiated by their mother's breast.
Huh, okay.
So that's kind of interesting. It's like, you know, these are all things in our body that we evolve for a reason.
Like a biological function.
Yeah. And it's also completely random, they think, that this random plant does this to humans. Like, they can't figure out, like, it didn't evolve for the plant to do this to us. There was no purpose for
There's no symbiotic relationship or between us and this particular plant. I find
weird.
Well, people bring this aspect of weed up a lot because it's obviously this quote unquote natural plant, and they're like, you already have the receptors for it in your body, unlike other drugs that are, you're like introducing new chemicals into your body.
Or synthetic chemicals, maybe.
Yeah. With this, you're introducing like cannabinoids into your body. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Cannabinoids?
Yeah.
Into your body, which are already existing in your body.
But that, exactly.
That's how some people try to pitch that it's like less intense because you're, or not that, that does not make it good or bad. I just mean, I know sometimes people use that as a talking point for weed,
but it's just mimicking them, you know what I mean? And it is just a coincidence. Like, you know what I mean? It'd be different if, like, you did it and every time you did it you started planting seeds and plants and, like, I just want a garden, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, we're helping the plant, but no, it's like, like, we're just like eating chips. But also, because of the it affecting the amygdala is the part of your brain that makes you
For fear and
fear and panic,
emotional regulation,
exactly, but also calms you down.
Okay.
So it's like, that is one, people really like to focus on the fear, the fight or flight of the amygdala, but it's also important to remember that's also a part
emotion,
that calms you down,
that sort of, like,
exactly. So we're trying to, like, understand marijuana and our brain. It's like, oh wait, some people do feel calm, some people do feel anxious, like, what is going on here? And they've found that in small amounts of marijuana people are more likely to feel calm from it. In high amounts of marijuana, that's when you hear about people getting more anxious. Mm. So it is affecting your amygdala. So it's going to, you know, make you anxious or calm. Those are obvious effects I think a lot of people talk about having. If you're worried about them, less, more likely to be calm, more likely to be anxious. And the hypothalamus and appetite, there has also been a correlation with wanting to be satiated with carbs and fried foods. And it's actually linked to the type of nutrition that you want in a certain perspective. Like, you aren't going to want to eat a salad, which is kind of interesting.
Honestly. Well, like, you're an anomaly to me. I mean, I guess some people are like this, but I'm like, who wants to eat a salad ever, period? It's not like when I'm stoned, I don't want to eat a salad. It's like, I don't really like eating salad. I do it because I'm in my 30s and I'm like thinking I should.
That's so, I love a salad.
If I have a salad, it has to be savory. There has to be like rice or quinoa and like warm tofu or something in it.
You want
to
stir fry.
I want a bowl. I want a bowl.
That's why
they invented the bowls, like the grain bowls, because it's like, I don't need these leaves in
That's
my food.
So weird. Oh my God. Okay. We need to do an episode on salad.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And just be like, what does it mean to toss a salad? Kidding. Okay. So this is the part that really stuck out to me, about novelty.
Okay.
So people with more rigid personalities are more likely to feel anxious.
Okay. Ding, 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 ding. You found me.
And novelty is experienced in the amygdala when it responds to change. So this part of your brain, when you are in your life and something is changing, you go to a new country, something new is happening, your amygdala is a really big part of the neurophysiology of that experience. Okay. So we know that the marijuana is affecting the receptors in the amygdala. And so what it's actually doing is it is making it easier for your brain to experience novelty. So for example, they use like an example of a teenager. There was a bunch of people who they were interviewing who was like, I like it because when I'm walking down the hallway in my school, it feels like an adventure. And I was like, that is why I like it. I am a novelty seeking person. I have like made sort of a worldview around this. Like, I know that it slows down time to have new experiences. And I think what marijuana does is it's exactly that. I can go to the corner store and get milk and it's an adventure. I'm talking to people. I'm looking at the flowers. And it really is saying that because of the way it affects your amygdala, like it freshens your senses. Music sounds new and more intricate. Food tastes more unique. Your experiences are different.
That makes sense.
And it's easier for you to experience novelty and things that are the same usually.
Yeah, and I feel that you, maybe this is not fully related, but you really notice things you wouldn't otherwise notice. In normal situations or even just walking down the street, you kind of pay attention. It draws your attention to things that maybe your brain would otherwise just kind of like ignore because they're just always there. I will say, as a person on the other end of the spectrum, as more anxious, I definitely enjoy novelty, but it has to be like in batches or kind of structured for me and like somewhat predictable. A interesting reason I enjoy marijuana is because it allows me to have novelty with things I'm already comfortable with.
Yeah, exactly.
So if I'm rewatching a movie for the 17th time, which I find is something I'm more likely to do than you are because you want something new.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I want to watch that movie again. So maybe if I'm high, I'll see it in a new way.
And your senses will be more sensitive in that sense that you probably will enjoy
it. Oh, totally. It's like if I play Zelda and like the second time around, it's like I would rather do it in a different way. And then I'm seeing it in a new way and experiencing it. I just think that is really cool.
Yeah, that's why I started with that rigid personality thing, because it's true. It's like novelty seeking is for certain people. Not everyone enjoys novelty seeking the way that like I think that I do. And I know the people in my life who do. And so it's like marijuana is sort of helpful for that. And then infrequent users of marijuana, there was this really interesting study. 1 minute they would think was 3 minutes. So that time dilation
that definitely happens to me.
Yeah, that time dilation that I think happens to everyone when they have weed, especially if you're an infrequent user, it can really distort your perception of time, which I think for me and for you, we sometimes are like, this is amazing. The night's going on forever.
you like feel like you win so much time. And I have a lot of time anxiety. So I'm like, oh my gosh, my evening's so long now.
So those are all the really good things. Now, I think your study is also about withdrawal, but we're going to start talking, I think, more realistically about up-to-date research about quitting and maybe the negative effects of this thing that a lot of people, and even so far in this podcast, we have made sound kind of nice. So it's the most widely used illicit substance.
So this is still part of your study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. This was a book.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
That I read that also.
Oh yeah, you're like already longer than a blankist.
It's like, but yeah, true. But it's also like linked up to studies which I read. I was just like, marijuana, like that is a joy to read about. Dream.
Yeah, I mean, we can do more than one podcast on this. You know.
Yeah, it's true. And videos galore. They always do well. So it remains the most widely used illicit substance in the U.S. and Europe. Again, it's like we're not including alcohol because it's not considered illicit, and it's becoming less illicit as the states, countries make it more legal. Mm-hmm. But marijuana dependence is very common, and that means that you've used it for more than 10 years for nearly like every day. Usually like six times a week.
Wow.
And six times attempting to quit.
Okay.
So that's how they define it. It's like you've been using it for 10 years or longer. You've tried to quit 6 times. Like, these are just like arbitrary rules, but it's like there are quite a few people. I think it's 4.3% of Americans who fall in that category.
Okay.
So that is like quite intense. And you continue to do it despite social, psychological, physical impairments, consequences with relationship, family, feeling guilty about it, financial difficulties, like sleep issues. These are all things that you're able to say it's affecting you negatively and you still can't quit.
Yeah, okay.
I just want to say that because I think some people are like maybe have a relationship with marijuana that they're like, it feels net positive, and therefore like this is for, there are people out there who really don't think it's helping them at all. And they can't quit.
Still doing it.
Which is interesting.
Well, I guess it's, maybe it did help them for a long time and it's become so habitual that now it would be harder to stop, even if they don't think it. Because there, yeah, withdrawal is a thing. And if you're so used to a situation, it would be your go-to to deal with anxiety and issues.
So marijuana withdrawal does exist. They think it creates irritability, anger, depression, difficulty sleeping, craving food, and even decreased appetite. And most symptoms occur within 24 to 48 hours. They peak within 4 to 6 days, and they can last from 1 to 3 weeks, which I think is interesting because I've always tried to track if I felt that way.
Well, I think there's also a stereotype that because marijuana is not a quote-unquote addictive, or it's not as addictive as other substances are, that as a result, there's not a period of withdrawal.
Mm.
Do you think that's true? Yeah. Like people, whether like, or not... Everyone's not necessarily touting that, but I feel like people do say that. They're like, because it's not addictive, of course I shouldn't have withdrawal.
And they do make a point to say that the withdrawal symptoms are less severe than cocaine or alcohol or these other drugs that are more common. So I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, like you're the small fish, like next to these like bigger fish. And so I think it just gets less rep, but that doesn't mean that we should ignore the fact that you do get withdrawal.
Yeah, I just need to also tell you, like, this is my study.
Oh my God, okay, then I'm going to stay away from that. I'm going to the last thing.
Well, you've already said.
Okay, no, well, we can keep talking about it because I think it's really important that we, like, continue to speak about this. But I just think one thing that I really stuck out to me was about memory. Like, going back to what I said earlier, it can really affect your ability to hold memories, to recall memories, and to have a quote-unquote good memory. And if you do quit weed, they have found that over time, you will get a better sense of memory, like ability to recall memories, and your memory will actually become more profound, which I thought was interesting because it's like it does affect your ability to remember things, which I think is interesting for people out there who maybe don't think it's doing nothing to their brain.
And do you know if that is saying to affect your memories while you're stoned or even outside of that?
Even outside of that. There's a lot of controversial studies that I don't even know if we can get into about like ADHD and different ways of like being able to actually hold your attention, like reading a book or doing things, especially if you're an adolescent who is smoking or consuming a lot of weed. In those really important brain development times, it can be really dangerous, especially because apparently when you're an adolescent, that's an important time for you to understand your morals, to understand how to connect with people, and to understand novelty experience with others. And they're like, if you just smoke a joint, you can get all those things on your own with the joint, and it doesn't allow you to properly develop your brain to get it with other people. So they're really focused on this book on making sure young adolescents are really focused on how do we make sure that they curb their marijuana use, because it's way worse for you and your brain and your memory in developmental stages.
That makes sense.
So yeah, I'm going to leave that there because the other stuff is about withdrawal and quitting. But I just found that fascinating as someone who was kind of just like, weed's amazing.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, we can do more on this. There, like, of course, there's lots of interesting research that shows that there's benefits and perks and not that many downsides to marijuana. But there are lots of studies that also show that there are like some detrimental effects and major impacts on development, like you said, and on memory and on moods of people. And now we're talking about withdrawal. So it's a drug. I mean, you could say similarly, like with caffeine, like, of course, people go through withdrawal, like they can become addicted in a way that's obviously not the same as being addicted to other like serious hardcore drugs. But it's not any substance that if you're drinking pop every day, that's like awful for your body, you know? So everything's kind of like that.
So what are the positive aspects of marijuana for you? as a different person than me who maybe is more anxious, like, I'm just curious, like, you have a different trajectory towards marijuana use. Like, what would you say is the reason you like it?
Well, I was going to say, let's go on a little break first and then we'll come back and I'll tell you all about
it. Oh my God, I believe that's a cliffhanger. To be continued, dot, 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 just appeared on the screen.
BRB.
Comment Corner.
Today's comment is from Shoban Loves Science. Cool name. And it's a 5-star review, bitch. High five. Smackity smack. You guys are amazing. This podcast is a great way to get your science fix and laugh and feel good about the world at the same time. I'm recommending this to everyone.
Aw, thank you. So sweet.
Thank you so much. And I just want to make sure that you did, in fact, recommend it to everyone.
Yeah, like, prove it.
Because we don't like liars here. I'm kidding. Thanks. That's so nice.
On the flip side, I don't have it open right now, but I did at one point see a 1-star review and it just said, bad.
I mean
like, at least
the simplicity,
consistent.
Yeah, the chef's kiss,
like,
of that,
get to the point, and you did. Thank
bad
you.
Oh my God.
No, but thank you all bad. Always for leaving us reviews, good or bad. Mostly you're all so kind, and it's really heartwarming and nice to see people leave reviews, so thank you so much. It helps the show, allegedly, as they say. But shall we get back into some more marijuana?
Of course.
Love that noise.
The spell's cast.
So before we went on a break, you had asked me what my relationship with weed
what
was.
Are the positive aspects of it for you? If any, you can. They don't have to.
No, there are. So definitely, I've always gotten more anxious. If I have too much, I get anxious. So there are, like, some very acute and noticeable negatives for me, which is why it took me a long time to kind of do much with weed. Like, you were always kind of a little pothead. And I was always, like, a little turned off from it. Not of you, but of, like, the drug.
Whoa. Okay.
But in my adult... No, not of you.
No, I know. I'm just funny. I'm like, I didn't know you had to clarify
turned
that.
Off. No, I guess... So the positives for me, the main one became time. So I have a lot of time anxiety, and I just found... As we age and as now we, like, run a business and do all, feel busy all the time, and the evenings come by and go so fast, it was a really nice way for me to feel like the evenings were longer when I did it, especially on, like, a night that would have felt stressful or a time that was stressful. It was like, okay, this is a clear indicator that work's done, because I am a non-functional one. Like, I think you're much more functional when you're high, but I don't work. I can't really do... like, high intellectual things, if you know what I mean. I don't really read even, but I can, like, play video games, watch movies, just, like, chat, go on walks, do those kinds of things.
So it was, like, allows you to relax.
It felt like I could have more time. I didn't have to stress because I was like, oh my gosh, it's been only an hour, but I feel like it's been three, literally.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And so that was a major positive thing. Now, sometimes I literally, like, now I didn't do edibles for a really long time because if I got too high, it's like you're kind of trapped in it. Now that there is government weed, it's like you can know exactly the amount. So I have figured out the exact amount of milligrams. That's good for me. And now as it's happening, as I am getting high, I literally will be like, I feel so happy. I'm way nicer. I'm funnier.
Okay.
So, like, it's kind of, every time it happens, because I still don't do it that much.
Yeah, I'm way nicer.
No, I just notice, like, the things that would normally trigger me. It's not that I can't get upset, obviously, if I'm high, but the things that would normally trigger me, or just, like, the daily, you know, when you kind of get in a funk and you're just like, things are not great.
The only time I've ever had a funk is when there's music playing and I'm getting funky.
Okay, Bruno Mars.
It's not the funk. I'm kidding. But yes, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So I have those moments where I'm like, okay, it certainly is a mood changer for me. And yeah, those are kind of the main things. Like, I know I definitely still face,
to be honest,
anxiety.
That was a lot.
That's the few things. No, there are a lot of negatives for me. Like, sometimes if we go on walks and stuff, I actually will have a lot of anxiety.
When we get ready to go on a walk when we're stoned, it's like we are, like, about to go skydiving. Like, you're just like, okay, Greg, will you be there for me? I'm like, we're walking ahead.
Well, okay, here's the thing, because Greg is such a different person that he doesn't, not that you don't know what it's like to have, like, anxiety, but I don't think you know what it's like to have, like, anxiety. And so I get nervous that if and when I have an anxious moment, you won't really be there for me because you don't know how to, because it's hard for you to relate. You know? So before we go on walks, I'm always like, I need you to know, like, here are the things. Can you please take me serious? Because if we're far away from home and a stranger starts talking to us or we get lost or any of these
But I things, will. I'll be like, okay, let's go home. I'll stop talking to this stranger.
Yeah, but I sometimes need you to know how serious it is. Or I just need to know that I've, like, laid boundaries that will make sure I feel comfortable and safe and know I've premeditated or pre-communicated with you, so in that moment I don't have to.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, that makes sense. That's true. You premeditating those things ends up just me being like, whoa, he's gonna because, be so scared. But then when we go on the walk, you're always fine.
And because I've had some extremely negative experiences.
Like what?
Just having full anxiety attacks.
Oh, okay, cool.
And panic attacks. Well, hi.
Spill the tea. I've had a panic attack.
Especially on edibles, which last a long time. And so I can feel very trapped. It's like knowing you took something that's making you go crazy, and now you just know you have to be crazy for the next 5 hours.
Yeah, okay, that's scary.
And you're trapped in it. You know, there's no out. You can't just be like, okay, well, I can turn it off.
Yeah, that's true. And you can't, like, vomit.
Like a scary movie that's actually so scary, but you can't turn it off.
Oh, Saw.
You know? Okay.
Isn't that the plot of Saw? Or, like, Clockwork Orange, when they, like, keep your eye open and make you, like, watch this horrible movie?
I don't know. Anyway, you get my point. What have you already said what it's for you? Why is it so good for you?
No, but I'm like, I think we'll be here for days. Okay. If I have to say why it's good for me.
Should I talk a little bit more about
withdrawal? Yes, I want to get into withdrawal. Yeah.
You can help me and back me up here because I don't have that much extra to say on top. Okay. Like, you kind of talked about the classic symptoms and just the mere fact that there's now a lot of research to show that withdrawal is a real symptom of marijuana, not for everyone, and obviously under certain circumstances. So I had found a meta-analysis from earlier this year, April 2020. That looked over, I can't remember the exact amount of studies, but it had 23,000 participants.
That's so funny. They're like, we got this new study. Everyone's like, we don't care. We're in lockdown. There's a new pandemic. Like, imagine. Like,
go have weed.
Yeah, 2 years. Like, I finally finished my study. My net analysis is released. Everyone's like, we do not care. Everyone, just eat the weed if you need to eat the weed.
Yeah. So it was looking at regular users, which weirdly, they didn't have a consistent definition. The meta-analysis was saying how every study has slightly different definitions.
Huh, true.
And I couldn't find what they were calling their regular, but it was regular or dependent users, which you defined previously.
Yeah,
dependent being like quite
every day, trying to quit 6 times and doing it for 10 or more years.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, they did find out that 47% of people who quit experience some type of withdrawal. If you're a regular or dependent user. But there's a big caveat for this. So that included patients who had psychiatric disorders or had been diagnosed with another disorder. And so when just looking at those people, it was 87%, I think, of people who had disorder or who had withdrawal symptoms. Huh. And when looking at the quote unquote general population, it was only 17%.
Okay.
So if you in your own way are like sort of, you know, an average human, maybe fairly mentally healthy and stable, not in the need of other drugs or anything like that, your chances of having withdrawal were much lower, but still 17% of people were having those symptoms you mentioned of irritability, sleep problems, nervousness, anxiety, restlessness, depressed mood, those kind of things.
Huh, that's so interesting. Withdrawal from marijuana, I bet, is a very confusing thing because if you've been doing marijuana for so long, you're going to feel different not on it. Mm-hmm. And I could see how easily you could self-report not having withdrawal, but having all those symptoms.
Yeah, and just thinking like, I just...
Like, oh, I got a bad night's sleep again. You know what I mean? Like, just like, oh, well, you know, I got a bad night's sleep again.
Yeah, because the withdrawal from some other drugs is so intense.
It's so intense.
Right?
And like
vomiting.
And in the movies, it's people like screaming and
I mean, I don't have any first-hand experience or know people, but I imagine those are, you know, based off of some extreme cases of...
And you can actually like die if you just go like quote unquote cold turkey from some drugs.
Exactly.
Whereas that's not going to happen with marijuana from any of the research that I've read.
Yeah.
The
only last thing I'll say from this study is that they found that the withdrawal symptoms seem to be proportional to the frequency of your use or the amount that you use. So people who were high, heavy users were more likely to experience withdrawal.
It is wild how much people use weed because I think of myself as someone who like is a pothead because I do think of it as that functional stoner vibe. Like I, at the end of a working day, will eat edibles and then just like go to my desk and just like write or like paint or like do practical things very like easily. In fact, it enhances that. And I think sometimes can help me be like uninhibited in my own brain and like be creative. But then I think that probably averages out to like me doing it like 3 to 4 nights a week. But like, I know people who do it like to sleep every day or mm-hmm. like when they wake up every day. And you're like, it's one of those things that I think I do as a pothead where I'm like, well, I can name people who are more. And I, like, it's like a thing.
Like, I don't have
but then
problem.
Now sometimes I'm like, oh my God, like I clearly self-identify as a pothead. Like, I wonder if there's people in this world who clearly by these definitions are dependent on it, but maybe don't like know, like admit that.
It's kind of like alcohol when you find out it's like 6 drinks.
No, it's 7. I did a study recently through my hospital and doctor that was more than 7 drinks a week they consider an alcoholic.
Right, where you're like, a lot of people probably don't realize that, and a lot of people probably are alcoholics.
Every single person I've said that to, their draw has truly dropped. And I'm like, it's just that women's college
like,
hospital of
that's trial. Like 3 drinks on Friday and 3 drinks on Saturday.
I mean, no, then you're fine. Yeah, I was like, that's 6. But no, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, that doesn't seem like alcoholism to me.
Yeah, I know. But then that's I also think definition. There's so many people in this world, too, that don't drink, period. You know what I mean? Like, we live in a very... the Western society. I know British people sometimes say that they drink even more than Americans. And in my head, I'm like,
Australian
Americans.
People, girl, they drink a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
But they're all jacked and look like Chris Hemsworth. Or is that just one Australian?
No, they're all jacked. They are all jacked.
Because they're always traveling. I'm on my break. I'm like, when do you work?
Yeah, they get like 6 to 11 weeks of like I went on a trip once and met an Australian who was on 11 weeks of vacation. He had saved it up. But
whenever you travel, meet an Australian, they gaslight you. You're like, oh, I'm actually here for 2 weeks. They're like, 2 weeks? How are you going to experience anything? I'm here for 4 months. I'm like, okay, well, we all don't have 4 months off. Can you stop yelling at me?
One thing I find interesting with your relationship versus mine with marijuana is...
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about our cute relationship together. But
our relationship. No, that's another episode. Is
our relationship, colon.
Good. Is it working?
Is it working?
Is that... Or do we title a podcast badly? I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Let us know in the comments below. Sound off.
You're like, yeah, I don't pluck them because of that.
I'm procrastinating you calling me out.
No, it's you have a much... Regardless of you thinking that some people do it more than you and have a poorer relationship or like a quote-unquote worse relationship. I've done a lot of air quotes this episode. You generally have a very positive relationship and view of marijuana. And even though I use it, I still feel... shy and weird, even though our government
it's the it's legal, it's the Catholic upbringing.
It might be. I feel like
the shame
almost
of it all,
bad to talk
right?
about it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. I shouldn't have just like put that on you. I immediately deflected off of me. I'm like, it's your Catholic.
I mean, I don't think it's specifically that, but that might be part of it. It's that sort of more reserved upbringing. And I grew up thinking I would never do it. It might have been my own.
You grew
existence.
Up thinking you would never do it? Why?
I don't know. When I was younger, like, I didn't have a problem with drinking. When I met you, I was, like, afraid of marijuana.
Yeah, I know.
Not
it
afraid. Like,
really
I knew it wasn't as bad as other drugs, but I was still, like, bothered that you did it.
We went to a school that's, like, the University of Guelph. It's, like, known for marijuana, and it's, like, everyone is, like, wearing, like, parachute pants and, like, like an off-kilter hat and is, like... a vegan who smokes weed. And then Mitch was like, every time he saw a joint, it was like he was seeing someone injecting heroin. He was like, oh my God. And I was like, wait, I don't know like if we're weird or if you're weird. Like,
No, I know. And so even to this day, I'm like, I think it's a positive experience for me and many people. And I have no judgments anymore to other people, but I still feel taboo to openly talk about it, knowing that like our parents will hear this, you know?
Wow, my parents definitely know about me. Wait, so you're telling me that like there was a time when you were young where you like clapped your hands together and picturing you praying, you're like, I will never do marijuana.
I mean, I don't
like it's so
praying,
interesting but... as a kid to think that.
So let's clarify, like I grew up and went to a Catholic school, but I was never like really identifying as like a religious person.
And when
so
I picture Catholic school, I picture like a girl hiking up her skirt and being like smoking weed and being like,
yeah, that's
F
your
the system
like, dumb public school upbringing that didn't teach you enough about other
hey,
kinds
I'm
of
pretty
schools.
Sure I had a better education because I was not at a Catholic school where they were like, no, oh, sex isn't real or whatever.
You don't even know.
I know is that your sex ed was really bad.
It was. That's the one area for sure.
Yeah, truly one of the most important ones. Anyways.
Fine. I'm not defending my school.
Not very much drugs? I just picture Catholic school.
Oh, there was. No, there was. Oh, like, okay. You actually were describing my school, and it was like hiking up skirts, and it was girls getting pregnant, and yes.
Oh, my God, because they weren't teaching them how to use condoms.
Yeah, you're like, you'll go to hell. Oh, like what they say. People are like, are we going to learn about condoms? They're like, you're going to hell.
Okay, so it was a you and at a Catholic school thing.
It was what?
Like, it was you at a, like, people, other people at your school. It wasn't like you were all coming together, like, hum, we will
no,
never do
my
that.
My school was notorious for certain drugs. Obviously, lots of people at my school didn't, but there were lots of people who did, even in high school. But I never really ever tried weed until I met you.
I did not talk openly about marijuana with my parents in high school, but once, like, I was very scared to tell them, and I actually didn't smoke nearly as much marijuana in high school as like my friends. I was in like a stoner crew of boys, and actually through therapy realized that marijuana was an interesting way for me to like cope with hanging out with straight dudes. Like, I could do it, and like we would all have lots of fun, and it was like a way for me to like feel like a part connect. Of like these people who were truly talking about BMX bikes all the time. And I'm like, there's nothing about BMX bikes that interests me at all. Smoke a joint, I'm like, oh, that's kind of a cool bike, I guess. And we were like outside, we had just gotten high. It was like one of the first times, and I was listening to Coldplay with my headphones, like dancing alone. And I stood in front of a bike jump, and someone on a BMX bike jumped right into me, hit me because I wasn't paying attention. I flew into a puddle all over my coat, and I was like covered in dirt. And I was like, we were gonna hang out for the whole day. I don't know, it was a Saturday or something, and I needed to go home and change. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna quickly like sneak in, change my coat. I opened the door to like an hors d'oeuvre party that my parents have with like 14 adults. I'm covered in mud, stoned, like for one of the worst times, and I can't even begin like thinking of anxiety. Like, think, imagine, like, I just like look at all, and they're all, Greg, how's school? How are you doing? I'm like, I can't even talk. I'm like, Coldplay, it's great. The bam.
Are your parents finding out right now that you were so
yeah, they wouldn't remember this because there's like enough parties, and I don't think it meant anything to them, but to me, I was like, they're gonna know I'm high, I'm covered in mud. Like, yeah, no, I mean, if they're listening now, yeah, this is how they find out. Like, I wasn't like, I never told them. I don't even know if it's a distinct memory to them or not, but to me,
oh my gosh, right, it stood out as like, yeah, pure fury. You were caught, you were in like such an awkward situation.
Like, the weed's making me feel a novel experience. I didn't need that novel experience, right.
Too far.
Yeah.
Well. Do you think you'll ever quit?
I don't know. You've been doing it for like 20 years. Not 20 years.
That's decades.
Over a decade. I didn't start when I was 12.
At the same time you yelled decades, and then I said 20 years, and you went, not 20 years.
Like 15.
Well, maybe I don't know.
Because I want to think, like, because sometimes you hear, hey, let's quit smoking cigarettes and they have kids. But then everyone I know who's had kids certainly has not stopped in, like, consuming weed. In fact, I feel like it's like they've picked it up more. So I think I might not ever.
Do you think you
like in the nursing home, just getting ripped?
Well, yeah, people of our generation probably will take this to beyond
the grave.
To the grave.
What did you say?
Do you think you'll do less?
I think so. I think this podcast is part of my journey to less.
Okay.
What about you? Do you think you'll ever quit?
Yeah. I mean, I have no, like,
you just said yes and shook your head no.
Well, because what I was trying to communicate was that it doesn't really matter that much to me the amount I do it. And I don't feel that dependent on it. How do I describe this? Like, I might not. It's kind of like that right now. Like, if suddenly there was a big life change and I was like, it just doesn't fit in my life, I wouldn't. Maybe I would have moments of being like, oh, I wish I could still do that every now and then. But if suddenly it became like the most illicit, illegal drug, like out of nowhere, and it would crack down so hard, I'd be like, okay, I just like probably won't do that ever again.
And, oh my God, if like everything,
I mean, that seems weird now. I'm like, that's a really weird situation to describe. I would obviously feel really strange about that. But there's part of me that's like, maybe there'll be a point where I just stop. But I have no intention to be like, okay, and then I will stop.
It's mostly just like, climate change hits, all things fall apart, and they're not growing marijuana. We don't have the capacity to.
It's like the easiest plant to grow.
Yeah, true. Tis a weed. They're growing like, it right out this window
like
here.
Our neighbors have like a giant plant that's like.
And it grows fast.
Literally, we're like, oh, like, is that a big plant? And then the next 3 days, it's like way bigger. Okay. Anything else you want to bring up today?
No, that was great. I'm so happy to have learned all that with all of you. We hope it was helpful and cheers.
Yeah. Thank you so much for watching. Hashtag Side Note Podcast if you want to talk to us about it, or you can
leave
tag
a review.
Us on Insta. Yeah. Leave a review on iTunes. On the YouTube video, if you're watching this, leave comments. I love reading them. I should respond to them more often, but I do read the YouTube comments comments you put anywhere. So thank you guys so much for listening and everything, and we'll see you next time.
Peace. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.